Daf is Daf Yud Dalet. So we're in the very, very top. The new Mishnah begins. Hashochi b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. Afa pishim eschay benafsho shchitasak sheir. If a person were to shecht on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, which would be an iser derais of shechting, it's one of the melachos of Shabbos, even though it's chay benafsho, even though if such a person's chayv skila, the shchita is still good shchita, because lemaisa, if he did a proper shchita, he cut the right simanim in the proper way, that is still considered a good shchita. So take a look at Tosfos, top Tosfos here. He asks the question: Hashocha b'Shabbos afilu b'mezid ba'ilokmi. Even if he did this on purpose, we would still accept the shechita. So asks Tosfos, how could that be? Tema, I b'mezid, if the guy shechted on Shabbos on purpose, heyach shechitas akshere. How would we accept the shechita? Ha mumer lechal Shabbosos also lechal mishechitasa. Isn't he a mumer lechal Shabbos? And we don't trust the shechita of a mumer lechal Shabbos. The Tosos answers too. If you go down a few lines, two narrow lines down in Tosos, the answer is number one. V'yeish lomar dehasim b'farhesya hacha b'tzina. Depends where he was doing it. If a guy's mechal Shabbos b'farhesya ein echanami, we wouldn't accept the shechita. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where he's only mechal Shabbos b'tzina, and he would not have a din of a psul shochet, and that's why we accept the shechita. Only mumar lechal Shabbos b'farhesya is possible from being a shochet. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Tosa says, "Umi lamai demoki kribi mer kasha ve'odi yishlamar demishum pam achas lo chashuv mumar." Violating it just one time won't render a person mechal Shabbos for Esther. He made a mistake once.
Even for Esther,
won't make a person mumar lechal Shabbos. Has to be two times, whatever the amount is, but certainly one time does not make him a mumar lechal Shabbos. And that case, it's the guy's first offense, and for that reason, we accept his shechita.
It's not such a big chiddush because the base of Mikdash, they shechted on Yom Kippur and Shabbos.
No, but that's the heter, shechted in the base of Mikdash.
But the fact that
the guy did a mlach on Shabbos. That's not right. The guy did a mlach on Shabbos outside of the base of Mikdash. It's a deraisa, mechal Shabbos for Hesya. So then the Rambam writes, it can't be. Rambam says the only time we accept the shechita is only if he did it b'shogeg. If the guy Taka did it b'mezid, we wouldn't accept the shechita. He would be considered a mumer lechal Shabbos, and we wouldn't accept it. He goes against the Rambam. There is a Ran who is a big chiddush. Ran says no. The reason why we accept it is because he doesn't become a mumar until the gemar shechita, until it's over. When he starts doing the shechita, he didn't do it. And right now, at this point, he shechted the first simon, and it's kilku. You can't eat the bad animal. It's not until the gemar shechita that he become a mumar. But during the ma'aser shechita, he's not a mumar just yet. So therefore, we accept it. When it's over, that gemar shechita is when he becomes a mechal Shabbos b'hesya. At that point, the shechita is already over, and therefore we accept his shechita. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Darish Chia Barav Mishmei Derav. The Darshan that follows in the name of Rav, Asur Be'achila Liyome. Even though we accept the Shechita, you can't eat it that day. You have to wait until the next day to eat it. You can't eat it that day. And it says, Rashi, Afilu Baliyome, Afilu Balechel Basar Chai. Now, we obviously can't cook. And we'll see in a second what about salting the meat. But even if the guy wanted to eat on that day, you can't eat it on that day. We'll see why in just a second, why that might be. But you can't eat it. So look at Tosis for the question, why would there be a havamina that you'd be able to eat it? It's raw meat. You can't cook it and you can't salt it. The meat is full of blood. So Tosis is concerned with the salting here. Look at Tosis, the maskil of Nisban Hab Chavre Lemeimar Rabbi Yehudi. We didn't see this line in the Gemara. The Gemara is about to tell us that it's only according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to eat this meat, because Yehuda requires hachana. We'll see that in a few moments. But according to the Rabbanan, says Tosaf, the Rabbanan shari b'achila afilu bo b'yom. The Rabbanan hold, you taka can eat. You're allowed to eat. If a person, Reuven shechs a cow on Shabbos, and Reuven's now chayv skila, you could go eat that meat. So to ask Tosfos, vim tomar v'ha ein yachol l'molchan b'shabbos, you can't do melicha. We know we can't have meat that hasn't been salted. There's blood all over the meat. So you have to do melicha to remove all the blood. So you can't do melacha because melicha is one of melachas of Shabbos, to salt meat. So how could you eat the meat if it's full of blood? What is Tosfos trying to say here that the Rabban would permit it? The Yesh Lomar Kigon Sha'avar Malcha. It's a case where the guy did another melacha. He salted the meat also. So Reuven shechted it, Reuven salted the meat, and now you're standing around, you're allowed to eat the meat. It's all because B'diyevit, he did all these aveiros. But then he says, Inami says Tosfos, Belo Malicha Nami Sharia Bu'umtsa, Afagav Dikala B'dam HaNivla Be'varim. Because he says that you're actually allowed to eat meat with the blood inside of it. Don't we all know that you can't have blood? Blood is an issa deraisa. You can have meat without being salted. He says, a honey meal is only true to parish lechutz. When the blood has left the basar, then it's asr to have the blood outside, and when the blood goes back in, it's asr to have it as well. Aval, but tosos mechadesh, kolz man shelo pirish mutter. But so long as the blood never left the meat, you're actually allowed to eat the meat that's full of blood. That's the chiddush of Tosos. The Rashba and the Rambam argue on this Tosos, but that's how he gets around the problem of not having to have it salted. So again, a guy shechs it, you're allowed to eat the meat on that day because you don't need any salting. That's the chiddush.
What? I feel like it's come up in a different Gemara.
Yeah, could be. I don't remember. I mean, Croesus talks about it, but we haven't done Croesus yet together. Maybe you did Croesus. Could be. Yeah. Bum says when it's raw. Fine. So then, now the problem with this is, though, the Rambam, Paskins, you cannot eat meat if it's not salted. In a regular weekday, you can't eat meat if it's not salted. He thinks there's an issur to have the blood even before it leaves the basar. So how are you allowed to eat it? How could the Gemara suggest here for the Rambam that the Rabbanan hold you can eat that meat that's been shechted? So Rabbanan actually hold you're allowed to salt on Shabbos, the Rambam holds. Salting is not a problem with Shabbos. The Gemara has a machlokas whether melicha applies to ochlin or not ochlin. And the Rambam passes like the Man Damar and the Gemara and Shabbos that melicha, salting, does not apply to food. That you are allowed to salt food on Shabbos, and therefore the Rambam, he would say, the guy Reuven shechs it, so you go ahead, you could salt the meat all you want, and now the blood's been removed, and you could eat the meat on that very Shabbos. So that's how Tosfos and the Rambam deal with this question of salting meat. I'm back inside now. Morgan said that you can't eat the meat that's been shechted that day, but after Shabbos you're allowed to. And then two lines down the Gemara of Anas ben Chavre Lameimar, the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash wanted to say there's all the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The one who holds you can't eat it on that day is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can't eat it. So hey Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda are we talking about? So we're going to spend a lot of time now, the next full daf, of trying to figure out which Rabbi Yehuda prohibited eating shechted meat on that very day. Now again, mitzad hilchos shechita, we accept the shechita. The Mishnah says it's a good shechita. But there's another problem why you can't eat it on that day. So what's the problem? Which Rabbi Yehuda? Whoever it is, anyone. Reuven shechs it, so now the Mishnah says it's a good shechita. But even though it's a good shechita, you can't eat it on Shabbos. Why can't you eat it on Shabbos? So this is Shechita's Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Hey, Rabbi Yehuda asks the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda de Achani. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the din of Achana, that you need to have something prepared, but something that is not prepared from before Shabbos, is usher to be eaten. So this on the Mishnah tells us in Maseches, this is Maseches Beta, I think, in Shabbos. So Maseches Beta tells us, Mechat chines a diluyim, nilifnei behema. The Tanakhama holds you should cut up different types of gourd for the animals to eat. Vesanavela, lifnei klavim, and cut up the dead animals for the dogs to eat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hayisa nevela me'erev Shabbos asura, l'fi she'ena min amuchim. When it comes to the nevela, you could only cut the nevela up for your dogs if the nevela was already dead from before Shabbos, that means it was prepared. But if the animal, horse, let's say, died on Shabbos itself, and becomes or a cow dies and becomes a nevela on Shabbos itself, you cannot feed that to the dogs because that wasn't muchan from before Shabbos. So we see from here, says the Gemara, Alma, We can conclude, since it wasn't prepared from before Shabbos Asura, that's why you can't give the nevela to the dogs. Hachanami here as well, since the animal, the cow, was not shechted before Yontif, before Shabbos rather, it lacks hachana, and that's why you can't eat it on Shabbos itself. Again, legabe the shechita is a good shechita. But the problem is it wasn't mucham, and that's why you can't eat it on Shabbos. The shechita is Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Abai says, me dummy, could you compare the case of the cutting of the nevela to the klavim to our case of the shechita of the cow on Shabbos? Me dummy, are these two cases similar? Hasam by the case of the nevela for the klavim. Meikar muchan l'adam, hashem muchan the klavim. Before Shabbos, the case of the dogs, the cow was alive. It was roy for me to shecht it for me to eat. But then it drops dead, and now it's only roy for the dogs. I can't eat a cow that dropped dead. So therefore, it changed the focus. Who was muchan for? From muchan l'adam to muchan l'klavim. That was a change. It was no hachana. There was no hachana for the dogs from before Shabbos. So that's why it's usher by the case of nevela. Hacha here, meikara muchan adam, hashin muchan adam. The cow in the Mishnah, when the cow was alive before Shabbos, it was already a fit, already had been designated for a person to shecht it. And now on Shabbos, when it's actually shechted, it's now muchan, it's ready for a person to eat it. So the muchan adam, muchla adam, didn't change. So our Mishnah should not be a problem of hachana at all. So the Gemara says back to Abaye, mi savras behema b'chayel achila? L'achila omedes? Behema b'chayel agado omedes? When the animal's alive, in the case of the Mishnah, the cow's alive, it's not right for me to eat. It's alive. I can't eat a live animal. It's Eivor Menachai. I can't eat that. It was Roy, it was fit for, it was having more calves and raising calves, not for me eating it. So when it went from a behema, that was a medes, legado omedes, and now I shechted on Shabbos, it's now omedes lechila, that changes forms of achana. That is a problem of lacking the proper achana. That would be equally usher as the case of the nevela to the club. So Gemara said, Yehachi, if that's the case, so if you assume a behema that's alive is not muchan adam. Then we have a question for Rabbi Yehuda. Ihachi, behema le Rabbi Yehuda beyamta vehechi shachtinan. How would Rabbi Yehuda ever allow you to shecht an animal yantif? We know on yantif, melachas that are tzarech ochel nefesh are permitted. Most melachas that are tzarech ochel nefesh are permitted. Shechit is one of them that you're allowed to shecht an animal because it's a fresher animal. If a melacha is fresher when done today than when done yesterday, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos itself. So shechting an animal on the day of Yantav would be fresh, more fresh than if it were an Erev Yantav. Fine. So now everyone agrees you could shecht on Yantav. The problem is, according to Behuda, if we're saying now an animal alive is only omedes legadel, and when you shecht it, it's now omed lachila, that changes hachana. So now how could Behuda allow you to shecht an animal on Yantav? It lacks hachana. It wasn't muchan for Adam before Shabbos. It was only muchan legadel behemos. And now on Shabbos, the Yantav rather, when you shecht it, it changes to muchan liadam. That's a switch of achana. That would be an isser of achana, according to Rabbi Yehuda. How would he ever permit shechting on Yantif? So Amar Lo, Rabbi Yehuda responds back, or whoever is talking responds back, omedes l'achil of omedes l'gadel. This animal, when it's alive, before Yantif, is not really designated for anything. It can be, there's options. It could either be left alive to raise animals, or it could be shechted to be eaten. So before Yantav, it's actually not muchan to anything. It's an open, or it's muchan to everything, or it's muchan to nothing. All options on the table, so we don't know, it doesn't change achana. What happens is, nishchata, once it gets shechted on Yantav, huvrara de l'achila medes, then it becomes brera, retroactive. We can now view the animal from Erev Yantav, that was an animal that was already muchan for l'achila. But alone nishchata, if it wasn't shechted on Yantav, then huvrara became clear retroactively to legado omedes that that animal was muchan for only raising animals from before Shabbos. So we have the concept of breira by our mice on Yantav. It's able to dictate to us retroactively what the hachana was for the animal before Yantav. So again, if you shecht it, that means already Erev Yantav was designated, it was muchan la'achila. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda permits you to shecht it on Yantav, as opposed to on Shabbos, where shechita is not permitted at all. You can't say, since I shecht it on Shabbos against the Isser, against the Torah, retroactively that animal now is muchan adam, because it was never muchan. That wasn't an option to do on Shabbos, and that's why Shabbos is very different than on Yantav. Okay. Gemara says, wait a second. V'hal leslei Rabbi Yehuda breira. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a brayer. Rabbi Yehuda only thinks forward thinking. You can't retroactively change what was in the past. So how could you suggest this? So Minalan, how do we know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of a brayer? So this Gemara appears like countless times in the Shas. Whenever we bring up Yehuda, there's always a question of brayer. And then we figure out how does he know brayer. So this is the brayer that's brought in the Gemara again many, many times. Just looking on the side for a second, they quote around 8 times in Shas that this brayer is quoted. So what's a brayer? How do we know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept Breira Midatanya. Baisa tells us halokeach yain mibein akusim. You buy wine from the kusim. Wine are one of the things that require chumas and maisis to be hufrash. And when you buy from a kusi, we don't trust that anything had been separated. So you're buying complete tevel. As opposed to if you buy from an am haaretz, let's say, not a kusi, but an am haaretz, we do, based on some surveys that were taking place in the times of the Gemara, we do think that they take chuma. Because chuma is a chayiv misa, and they take chuma, they just don't mafresh maiser. But when you buy from a kusi, Rashi explains, we have to separate everything. Fine. So you have wine, we assume it's full tevel. What do you do? Omer, you say, Shnei lugin shani asu lafresh. Now, you want to drink right now. So what you say is that the I'm going to separate at the end two things of wine. There's assuming we're having 100 lug of wine. So of 100 lug of wine, 1/50th is a chuma. That's the ideal, that's the benoni amount of a chuma. Midiraisa, the Gemara says, afilu chita achas poteris. Chuma only requires one kernel of wheat for chuma, and that would be exempt my obligation of chuma. But the Chacham instituted based on the Yerushalmi that you should have either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th should be given to the Kohen. It's a Beinoni, that's a Yafeh Ayin Ra. Fine. So Beinoni is 1/50th. That's the average amount. So you take 1/50th of 100 lug, that's 2 lug, of course. So you first say that I want to drink the wine now, but also Lafrish at the end, I'm going to separate, designate two amounts of lug of wine, Harei Hin Chuma. Now you've got 98 left, right? Two set aside for Chuma, 98 left. So now I need to separate Ma'aser Rishon. Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Levi. So 1/10, 10% of 98 is time 0.8. So you round it up to 10. So you need to give another 10 lug for the Ma'aser. So the Gemara says, Asara Ma'aser Rishon. So now 10 is going to the Ma'aser Rishon, to the Levi. So now 98 minus 10 gives us 88. Now you need to take another 10% for Ma'aser Sheni. So 10% of 88 is 8.8, rounding up is 9. So after doing that, Tisha, you set aside 9 lug for the Ma'aser Sheni, which is eventually taken to Shalim to be eaten. And the Gemara says, Umecha, you're able to be Mechal Ma'aser Sheni onto some coins to eat the wine now. Vishos, and you could drink it, and you have coins of Ma'aser Sheni that need to be, again, brought to the Beis Hamikdash, the Yerushalayim rather, to eat it and buy something there. Miyad. That's Divrei Rebbe Meir. So you're allowed to do this, even though you haven't yet been Mafish Chuma. You could say that I will be Mafish in the future, Chuma and Ma'aser, and eat it already right now. You could be Somech on the Breira. Fine. So the Gemara now says, that's all Shittas Rebbe Meir, but Rebbe Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, our concern now is Rabbi Yehuda, they also, and they say you're not allowed to do this because they don't hold a Breira. You can't do Breira. You can't figure out which, you have to say right now, what's Truma, what's Ma'aser. You can't say whatever's left over will be Truma. That's Breira, that's figuring out retroactively what was Truma initially, and they don't hold a Breira. Bar says, no, of course they hold a Breira. But the case of Truma is different. Hasam Kedekatani Taima. There, the Gemara says the reasoning why. Amu Lola Rabbi Yehuda, these three Amu Tanaim say to Rabbi Meir, how could you say I'll be Asir Lafish Chuma, I'll take Chuma in the future? What happens? Iata Moda Shema Yivaka Node, Venimsa Shosa Tavalum Lafreya? What happens is as follows. So I have all these barrels of wine, and I say, okay, well, in the end, whatever's left over, that will be Chuma, and that'll be Meisim. What happens when you're drinking the wine now, and then, I don't know, a tornado or earthquake comes, and the last barrels crack, and you lose all that wine? That means what you wanted to use as Chuma is no longer available, so Chuma never took place, and you drank Tevel. So shouldn't you be concerned that may happen? So that's why they say you can't rely on the future Hafrash Chuma. Not because Breyer doesn't work, but because of the Chashash of it might break. So says Rabbi Meir back to them, Amr Lehem, Rabbi Meir says, Lichshi Bakke, when it happens, meaning I'm not concerned that's going to happen. How, such an unlikely case that a tornado or earthquake is going to come and crack open these barrels of wine. If it happens, it happens, but unlikely it will happen. And therefore, it's only a machlokas of whether there's a chashash of this happening or not. But Lagabe Breira, it sounds like from this Brisa, that Rabbi Yehuda actually would hold a Breira. So we have this.
It's interesting that Rameya says that when it happens, because Rameya is always choshish for a meal.
Right, correct. Could be the Shitasa. So then the Gemara says, so we're still trying to dig for a place of where we find Rabbi Yehuda holds, where he says, less than Breira. There is no Breira. So Gemara tries again, four lines down on Amud Beis here. Elami Bitane Ayo. Ayo is the name of a Chacham, Rashi tells us. So Ayo tells us, Titani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he quotes from Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Adam Masna Al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. A person can't make two stipulations on two different things, meaning, let's say a Chacham is coming. You're in a city and you hear that there's a shir going on in some place to the right, some place to the left. You don't know where the Chacham's coming. So you can make an Erev to the east and an Erev to the west. And Ve'ilu Lakan Lakan, let's say you hear that they're both coming. Lo, but you can't do both. So look at, where's that? Rashi? Yeah, something along those lines, exactly. So, one second here. Because look at right here. Rashi ain't al demasna me'eruv in daf lamin vav. Rashi writes, Armina masa al demal eruv. A person can make a condition on his eruv. Umeniach shnei eruvim echa besof alpaim lemizrach eru, one to the 2,000 amos to the east. Uveecha besof alpaim lemarv, and one 2,000 amos to the west. The Omer, he should say, Im b'chacham the Mizrach, if the Chacham comes to the east, Shaya Chacham Asir level, the Malkam Acher, he's going to eventually come to that place. Ulishbos Chutz Litchom, he's going to be outside my Tchum, Velidros, Eruve Shah Mizrach, Yikne Li Shavis Le Mizrach, let my Erev to the east be Kona from me to the east. Veheya Veshabbos B'makom Eruve, and that'll be my Erev Tchumen to give me an additional 2,000 amos to walk. V'yeshli misham hala alpayim. V'im yagiduli, if it's told to me shabachachem lemar, if he comes to the west, this rabbi, yiknei ruvei shabimar, I'm going to be koning my additional 2,000 amos to the west. Balakan lakan, let's say two chacham come, one to the east, one to the west. They both come later. I could choose which one I want. So based on what happens tomorrow, I'll decide where I want to go, and I'll be the mefreya what was initially from beforehand, and that's based on the concept of breira. Fine. So the Gemara now says. So then the Gemara says again, ilu lakan lakan lo. If he wants to do both places, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, "V'havinim, but ma'ishna lekan lekan delo. How come if they come to both places, my erev doesn't work in both directions? The aim breira. So there's no breira. There's no such concept of breira. Can't just figure these things out retroactively. So and the Gemara then says, mizachumarav nami aim breira. That means breira shouldn't work to the east or the west either. I should either decide I'm going to the east, or I should decide I'm going to the west. I can't say tomorrow figure out what I want to be today on erev yontif. That can't really work." Vam Reb Yochanan. Yochanan says, no, it's a case of kvar ba chacham. That's the situation. If he already had come, in which case it's not a question of breira anymore, it's a question of, I just don't know the metzias. I'm making east, I'm making west. Whatever happens, I just don't know. I'll find out tomorrow what the metzias was from Erev Shabbos. So just to cover myself. But Einach Hanami, the tchum is only, the Erev is only working right now. I just don't know of what's actually happening. Exactly, two chacham can't work. Then I can't decide if they both come. Then that won't work because they both erevs were good, and I can't rely on two erevs. I can only do erev to one direction, not both directions. If only one comes, that means only Mizrach was working or Mar was working. The other one was just unnecessary. But if two chacham come, now you got to pull from both directions, and nothing was clear.
But I haven't decided yet.
You haven't. Your decision can't. Then that doesn't work. It would be breira because. If only one chacham comes, so the chacham is coming, that makes the erev, even though I don't know yet. But if two chacham come, so then they're both effective, they both can be effective, but I haven't decided which one I want to choose, and since I didn't decide erev Shabbos, I can't make the decision on Shabbos itself. Fine, so then the Gemara says, we're still looking for a place, though, that so that again only works because the chacham already came. So we're still trying to find a place, though, where we see Rabbi Yehuda clearly that Breira does not work. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef says it must be Rabbi Yehuda, the Kalim. Rabbi Yehuda who talks about Kalim, what does he say about Kalim? The Tzna, the Mishnah teaches us, Kola Kalim Nitalim the Shabbos, all types of utensils, a Kali is allowed to be taken on Shabbos, a pod, a table, a chair, these things are Kalim that have a certain use to it, use on Shabbos, that is. And Shivrayim Nitlin, and even if it breaks up, a glass breaks, you're allowed to take it as well. However, Bavaj Yu Osin Main Malach, as long as it can be used for some type of malacha. So if a glass breaks and the pieces of glass have a purpose, I can still use them. So Shivrei Areva Lechasos Ben Pichavitz. If Areva is like a basket or something, how do they define it? A mixing bowl. So a mixing bowl cracks. So if the piece of the mixing bowl is able to cover a pichavis to use it as a cover, so then I'm allowed to use it. I can move it on Shabbos. If Shivei Zechukis, some type of glass breaks, Lechasus Behen Piapach, if I can use it to cover up a pitcher, that still has a use and permitted to be used. Rabbi Huda, however, has more of a restriction. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ubavachi Osin Me'im Lachtan, has to be where the broken pieces are having the same exact function as the original keli. So in other words, what? Where says Shivri Areva Lotzuk Latochan Mikvah. If this mixing bowl broke, as long as the pieces are now still used for putting other things in to hold something, a mixing bowl, so then that's still allowed to be used. But if it can't be able to hold something, but it can only be used to cover something, it changes function now, that actually will not be allowed. That's considered muksa. Similarly, he says, Shivrei Zechuchas, broken part piece of glass, Lotzuk Latochan Shemin, only if it's able to still hold some oil. But if it's no longer able to hold oil, only be used at something different than it was before, namely to cover things, it's a new use, that would not be allowed according to Rehuda. So the Gemara is medayik. We see from here that me'ein melachtan, in only if it's doing a similar melacha from what it was doing before, melachtan, it's melacha that it was initially for, but me'ein melacha acheres, for melacha acheres, a different type of use, lo, that would not be acceptable, that would actually become muksa. So you see from this Mishnah, Alma came into lo'i tochein me'esmo l'hach melacha asiri. Since this piece of glass, this piece of the mixing bowl, wasn't designated for this new melacha from before Shabbos, in other words, it lacked Hachana, it's Asura from Lach, for moving, it's Muksa. Hachanami here as well, came into Loi Tachin, Me'asmal Asura. So too, when it comes to our case here, where we're talking about what's the case of the slaughtering animal, so too, the slaughtering of the animal, we're saying that it's Asura, fine. It's a lax Hachana. Now, so the Gemara, right, I made a mistake. The Gemara is not looking for Breyer anymore, the Gemara is not looking for a new understanding of how we know Rabbi Huda holds that there is no Hachana. From the reason why you can't eat the shechita babayom is because it lacks hachana. So Gemara now says, Amar le Abai, Abai says, Mi dami, can you compare the case of the shechita on Shabbos to the case of a keli breaking into pieces? Are they really similar? Hasa make kara kli, pasha shever kli. When it comes to the case of the kelim, before Shabbos it was a keli, and now it's a broken keli. Havile nola, that's nola. Nola is a problem of its asr. We know things are nola. What's nola? Nola would be an example of, let's say, the freezing, making ice could be a possible nola. Using whipped cream could be possibly nola. Making bubbles and soap, these are all things of, I'm not, they're machlokas about each of these cases I'm giving examples of, but these are possible examples of nolad. You can't create something new. So creating a shever kli from a keli, that would be a nolad, an usr. However, hacha, when it comes to our case of the animal shechted on Shabbos, they here make kara ochla, or the sofa ochla, and ochla the ifrisu. Before Shabbos it was considered food, or on Shabbos it's considered food. Now the animal shechted is simply part of the food. It hasn't changed its chaloshem, and it's not an isr of nolad. You can't compare it to the broken piece of glass. And we learn from Rabbi Huda himself, Damar Uchla de Ifras Shapir Dami, you're allowed to eat anything, any food that comes from food is allowed to be eaten according to Rabbi Huda. So where do we see this? If you take a look at the Gemara says further now, where do you see that any food that comes from other food is permitted? It's not an Isser of Nola. The Gemara says it's not, the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos. You can't take a lemon, let's say, and squeeze a lemon for the lemon juice. That's a violation of schita. Schita is a mlacha of dash, extracting something from something else, extracting liquid from a salad. That's the initial schita. You can't do schita on Shabbos. Similarly, you can't use, let's say, a sponge. You can't squeeze out a sponge. That's extracting the liquid, the water, from the sponge. So that's the Mishnah. Ein tochten es haperos lehotzi mehen mashkin. You can't squeeze lemons to create lemon juice. Vim yatsa miyatsman. If they came out on their own, let's say you had a lemon just sitting there, and over Shabbos the juice was seeping out, but you didn't do the squeezing, so the Tanna Kamma says it's asur, and you can't benefit from that lemon juice. But comes along with Yehuda in the Mishnah and says, Omer, no. Imla ochlin hayotim and mutter. If those lemons were designated for eating, you wanted to eat, you didn't want to use it for juice, so then anything that comes out is actually mutter. Because we're not choshesh that, oh, since the juice is coming out, I'm going to squeeze the juice more, the lemon juice more, because I designated these lemons for eating. Ah, there's juice? That's not going to affect my the function of the lemon. I still want to eat the lemon. I'm not going to squeeze it out. So therefore, if it's, again, designated for ochlin, you may drink the juice that seeps out. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the mashkin, if I designated these lemons for drinking, so then hayotim mehen aser, that juice that seeps out of the lemons into lemon juice, that would be prohibited from drinking, because that might lead me to squeeze the lemons even more. Fine. We see from here, though, that the Rabbi Huda holds, there's no concern of nolad. The only question Rabbi Huda is struggling with here is whether it will lead to schita or not lead to schita, but he doesn't say, shouldn't the juice that comes out be nolad? No, it's not nolad. It's all a question of whether we should be gozer, shema yischot or not shema yischot, and we have no problem of nolad. And therefore, here as well, when it comes to the cow that's been shechted, that's not nolad, that's food that comes from food, if you will, and therefore permissible. Gemara now says, "Lav Itmar Allah." Was it not said on the statement, "Amar Rav Yehuda," not Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda, "Amar Shmuel," that Mo Dehaya Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda himself admit lichachamim b'salei zeis and vanavim? when it comes to a basket of olives, a basket of grapes, these things were typical things that almost everyone would squeeze them for the juices. People would use olives to make olive oil and grapes to make grape juice and wine. So we see from here that he agrees to Chachamim, anything that comes out from the Zesim and from an Avim are always going to be us. You can't drink that liquid on Shabbos itself. Alma, we see from here, Kevin de la Schita Kaima Yav Daita Hachana. So we see from here that what? Since, if you look at Rashi, you see Rashi, six lines up, the end of the line here, Kevin de la Hachi Kaima, Stam Anavim. Since Stam grapes are really designated for making grape juice, Yav Daita Alayo Libashkim. So a person, the owner of the grapes, is always thinking about making grape juice. And when the juice drips out of the grapes and makes the grape juice, the person says, "Ah, oh, that's exactly what I wanted. Even though I didn't squeeze it, that's fulfilling my machshava." And now, so now that I see the grape juice is coming out, I might come to squeeze them more because that's my intent. So we see from here, upluk finds, we can ignore that last part of Rashi. So therefore, says, go to the next Rashi, bring it back full circle to the case of shchita, hachanami, says Rashi, Kevin de la shchita kaima yav daita di mashchata achalei the kevin de daita v'hachi gazim banami ishars le b'achila asle chachila mishcha. We should have the same chashash. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda agrees when it comes to grapes and olives, since these are designated by everyone to make grape juice, so any grape juice that comes out we can't drink, lest it lead us to squeezing the grapes themselves. So too, shchita, if this animal was shechted by someone else, not me, someone else shechted it, I shouldn't eat it, because if I come to eat it, I might come to shecht an animal itself. Just like I might come to squeeze out the grapes, I might come to shecht the animal. And therefore, we should compare the iser of shechitas, of grapes, to that of shechita. Okay. The Gemara now says, therefore, that wasn't a good comparison. So we're still back to square one, looking for a Rabbi Huda that would be a good model for asering the eating of shechita on Shabbos. So Gemara says, Ella, Amar, let's keep a line here. Midu, time, does this really make sense? Ella, Gemara now says, Ella le Rav. Amar Rav, doesn't Rav hold? Chala kaya Rabbi Yehuda, afilu besal zesim v'anavim. No, Rav holds that even by the case of olives and grapes, Rabbi Yehuda still argues and says you are allowed to eat the grapes and olives, even though it's been dripping out. So too, he should be permitting one to eat the shechted cow. That's permitted as well. Fine. So we're still looking for the answer for Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yehuda, for how we know that one cannot eat an animal that's been shechted on Shabbos. Gemara now says, last few lines of the Amadir, Elam Arvashashas, Bray Dervidi, Bar Yehuda, Dinerosi. Masri Yehuda, who has a din about candles. What does he say about candles? The sign of the Brisa tells us, this appears in Maseches Shabbos, that Metalta Ner Chadash, you're allowed to move a Ner Chadash, a candle that's never been used before, a brand new candle, you may move it, it's not Muksa. Avalo Yashan of Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, an old candle you may not use, it's Muksa. Why is it Muksa? Because it's disgusting. After a candle's been used, they used to have like clay cheris, earthenware, pottery, candles. If it was ready to use, it got all oily and disgusting, and the ashes and the wick. No one would want to use it. That's considered muksa. But if it's brand new, untouched, so then you're actually allowed to use it. This is halacha lemaisa, this is machlokas. How are we passing lagabe candles, unused candles? Can you use them or can you not use them? It's brought down by the Magen Avraham and Mishabura. We are initially machmir, but there are kulas to carry candles around. It comes up, let's say, I got the shalah recently, a person, daughter had was having a friend over for Shabbos, they brought candles for her birthday, it said like 16 or something. Are those candles muks or not? So there's what to rely on, because not only are those candles serving, they're not used, but also it has another function other than being lit. The number 16 is written on it, so there is what to rely on in moving candles on Shabbos, and that's based on this din here, that Ner Chadash is not muksa. So then the Gemara says, so we see from here, the Yehuda holds, if it's an old candle, it's a problem, it's muksa. So how do we have here as well? So Rashi says, of Alo Yasham, the last two lines, the muksahu, machmas miya, since the candle is used, it's disgusting, no one wants to use it, it becomes muksa. Shadas katsubo, people find that the old used candle disgusting. V'hach v'heima nami, kishakidash hayom, hu muksa machmas aver minachai, shol nishchata. So it's a din of muksa. So here as well, since the animal, when Shabbos started, going back to the Mishnah Amun Aleph, when Shabbos started, the animal was alive, that means aver minachai. No one has in mind to eat aver minachai, it's therefore maksa midaito, it's no longer in my das, I didn't even think of it, and therefore it's a problem of Muktza.
Why is it Mechai?
Because it's alive right now. You can't eat that live animal.
Before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, yeah. So then the Gemara says, we go a little bit further here. Maybe slightly further. Gemara now says, Eima Mishmasley. Ema the Shmasli Rabbi Huda b'moksa machmis mius. So Rabbi Huda only says a din about a nair yashan that's old and disgusting. But who says moksa machmas iser mishmasli? Do we ever have a case where he agrees that a moksa because of an iser? That's the different types of moksas. A moksa machmas chesunkis, moksa machmas gufa, moksa machmas iser, moksa machmas mitzvah. How do you know just because he accepts moksa machmas mius necessarily means he holds muksa machmas iser? Versus in, we do have a case where he agrees that muksa machmas iser is muksa. It's not the Mishnah tells us. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neiros shematechas metaltlin. You're allowed to carry all types of metal candles because even though they're huge, metal candles don't get disgusting like pottery does. Chutz minaner sheliko bo boso Shabbos. Unless the candle was lit on Shabbos itself, that's muksa. Why is it muksa? Since during Beinah Shmashos, which is the time that renders something muksa or not muksa, during Beinah Shmashos, the wife lit the candles. So the candles are being lit. And that's muksa because it might lead to extinguishing them. That's called muksa, machmas, and iser. Iser of a kibwe. So since in muksa, machmas, iser, we see he says that's the only muksa, the only nair you can't touch. If it was already lit during Shabbos, we see clearly Behuda does hold a muksa, machmas, iser. Or I said, wait a sec, but that's not a good model. Dilma shiny hasam dehu dachi lebiadaim. There's a question when muksa machmas iser comes from himself. When he created the iser, he lit the candles, he made the iser. That is more muksa maximidaita. That's further muksa. But muksa of an animal, that's Eber Menachai, not from me. I didn't make this animal. Hashem made the animal. That's aser because Hashem made it aser because Eber Menachai. That's Minashemayim. I never pushed it out of my mind. I never created the iser. Maybe therefore it's less muksa when the iser comes from a different source other than myself, in which case we don't have a good raya, there would be who the holds of muksa, machmas, iser, and therefore the Gemara goes back to the drawing table, to drawing board, to figure out what exactly is the source of Yehuda, who holds that you cannot eat the shechted meat on Shabbos itself. Everyone have a wonderful day.